Sometimes there are situations in the Bible where the teaching is very specific to the audience, the people, the context. But this is one that of the many teachings in the Bible that is general for all of us. I think, you know, we are not facing our teacher who is the Lord of the universe leaving the earth, but we do experience some of the same feelings that the disciples were in this moment of, and I have three named on this first slide that I want to kind of build the sermon around. I can well imagine that they felt helpless. Wait, you're leaving? What? And they felt alone. You know, they've given up their careers of fisherman, tax collector, all the rest to follow this man who was God, and he's leaving. So, Lord, I feel helpless. I feel alone. What are we supposed to do next? I don't know what to do. And each of those sentiments, especially in this last year, are things I think so many of us have wrestled with, right? I can't control this thing, that this virus that seems to be everywhere. To the degree that I'm isolated and quarantined or home from school or working from home, I feel so cut off from my friends and my family, and there's feelings of aloneness. And I just, it's not always clear what it is God wants me to do next, though we've certainly talked in recent weeks from the exile about how in any scenario, God has a faithful next step for us in terms of serving him. It's not dependent on what's going on around us. But that doesn't mean we don't have these feelings, right? Of, God, I'm just not sure. Given all that's going on, the world seems turned upside down. What am I supposed to do next? So Jesus is comforting his disciples who are feeling these things. And I want to look at his words to them, because they are words to all believers, all who trust him and follow him. That's how he explains the Holy Spirit, as words to us. So there's going to be kind of three parts to the sermon that are built around this statement. We're first going to see Jesus' response to "I feel helpless," then his response to "I feel alone," and then his response to "I don't know what to do next." So let's start with "I feel helpless." We have responses. Oh, and you may, if you either have your Bible or want to just look at the scripture in your bulletin, we're going to be working through it pretty closely. Three of the disciples responded to his announcement that he was leaving. Peter said, "Why can't I come with you? You know, you're going. Well, don't go alone. Let us come." Thomas, when Jesus said, "You know where I'm going," Thomas said, "I don't know where you're going." I love that response. How will we find you? Philip said, when Jesus said, "Well, I'll be with the Father and I are one," Philip said, "Okay, how do we find the Father?" You know, all the disciples are just saying, "Explain it to us. We don't get it." They kind of were helpless. I think about all the things that various ones of us, even in this specific congregation, much less among our extended circles of friends and relatives and so forth, the kinds of things we face, like loss of income, loss of health, struggle in relationships, and those seem to be magnified with all the challenge of this last year, right? Discouragement or depression, all the things that have such potential to kind of overwhelm us and us feel helpless. Jesus responds to the disciples. Jesus responds to us with these words in verses 16 and 17. Let me just read them, and then we'll look at three promises there. He says, "I will ask the Father." This is the help he's offering, right, to "I feel helpless." "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." He will give you help, "that he may be with you forever. And that helper is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot receive it because it doesn't see him or know him. But you know him because he lives with you, he abides with you, and he will be in you." Right? So in the face of, "God, I feel kind of helpless right now," Jesus says, "There is help for you. It is the helper, the Holy Spirit." So here are three promises he speaks to those who know Jesus. That's why it's not just the disciples, but us. He says, "You know him, because it's my Spirit. If you know me, you will know and recognize my Spirit." Secondly, he says, "The Holy Spirit abides with you." That means makes a home in you and with you. He takes up residence in our heart. Melissa was describing that a little bit in the children's message, right? It's not just he's going to drop in from time to time and see how you're doing, but God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, takes up residence in our hearts and in our lives. If you're a Christian, you don't have to do anything to get it. You already have God's Spirit with you. And then thirdly, he says, and he will be in you, not just walking alongside, not just driving in the passenger seat or the back seat, but he is in you, right, at home with us. So these are Jesus's promises to the feeling or the experience of, God, I just feel helpless. Jesus says, I have help for you. It is my Holy Spirit, who one of the names for the Holy Spirit is the Helper, right? God has given us that help. And you can already hear him leading to the second part. If the help of the Holy Spirit is that God is in us and with us and taking up residence, then that begins to answer the second part of, I feel alone. Because he's already telling us, my Spirit is making a home with you and in you. So the next two verses, or three verses, 18 through 20, he really unpacks the idea of the Holy Spirit making a home with us, that you are not alone. So the first part of that's in verse 18. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. Right? Their teacher is leaving the planet. I will not leave you as orphans. You will not be alone. It picks up that Old Testament language where God says to Abraham and his the covenant descendants of Abraham, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And even Jesus at the end of Matthew says, I am with you always and to the end of the earth. Right? God is with us. We are never alone. He also says in verse 18, I will come to you. Like, this isn't the end. You're going to see me again. And that's both a reference to what will be 3.5 days later, Easter morning. They will see him again, risen, having defeated death. I didn't double check this, but it may even be the same room where they're gathered for the Last Supper and the foot washing. I know Jesus comes to them to the upper room afterwards, but it's the same kind of setting, right? A familiar setting. He comes to them again and they see him. And he even offers the second time to Thomas to touch him, to touch his scars and the wound in his side. But it also, and in verse 19, he says, you will see me. So I will come to you and you will see me. It's not only Easter, but it also points to that eternity of you'll see me for eternity in heaven. I will be there with you. And he talks about going to make a place for them and a home for them. In verse 19, he also says to us, to them, you will live also. It's not just on Easter that Jesus is risen from the dead, that he defeats death, but that's his promise to all who trust in him, that you will also be raised with me. And that also has two levels to it. We are raised in this life to a new beginning, new creation, a new start. We're also raised in eternity, resurrected, so that death does not have the final word with us either. I think that's one reason this John 14, this chapter, it's requested of me very often at funerals, and I think it's probably common at funerals, because it speaks to both the loss, the helplessness, the aloneness that we can feel when a loved one dies, but it also is so encouraging that we're not alone, that God is with us, that there is life beyond death in Christ, there is resurrection. Jesus is just speaking all these words of encouragement to his disciples. So you'll see me, you will live, also you'll share in my resurrection. And then a fifth thing in verse 20, he says, you will know that I am in my Father. He's one with God the Father. You're in me, and I'm in you. So Jesus is saying, even though I'm physically going away from you, you have union with God through me. You are united to God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Right? You know the Father through me. You know me. I'm leaving you my Spirit. You are united with me. And that not only is a comfort, it also shapes who we are. Like, we belong to God. It's next chapter, next week. He says, you're no longer slaves, but you are adopted children. You're in the family of God. You belong to me. So we're promised union with Christ and a new identity with Christ. All of that is this idea of home. You're not alone. You're not alone in this world, and you're not alone in death. If you're in Christ, you have a home with and in Jesus Christ. And then the third part, if you remember that original sentence, I feel helpless, I feel alone, I don't know what to do. The third thing that Jesus speaks to is that, God, I don't know what's next. I don't know what to do. He offers them a way forward. He's just said to them, I am the way. And now he spells out to them, this is what you need to do. So he says, this is in verse 21, the one who loves me is the one who has and keeps my commandments. You have my teaching, you have the Holy Scriptures. If you love me, you will obey me. You'll follow my word. If you have been a parent or been a teacher or coach to children, you know the value of good rules. They're not there to dampen the party, be poop to the party for our young ones. They're there for their well-being, their protection, their life, their thriving. When good rules are made, and God's word is good. When we follow what he teaches us, when we obey him, we thrive, and we know his love for us, and we show his love, our love for him. So he goes on in verse 21 to say, the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. I'll disclose myself through him. We know and we experience God's love, God's comforting love, through obedience to what he teaches us. So in answer to, I don't know what to do, Jesus says, keep my commandments. Follow my word, follow my teaching, follow me. And when you do that, you will know, you will experience God's love for you. Because my teaching, my commandments, my way is God's best for you. Right at this point, I am a disciple, not one of the ancient disciples, but I'm a follower of Christ, is right at this point I would be thinking, okay, that was encouraging. You've offered me some help, offered me a home. You've told me what to do next. I'm not the best at obeying you. And Jesus comes right in, verse 26, and says, remember the helper, that I started talking about, the Holy Spirit. He will teach you and help you remember all that I have taught you. So it's not just on you to obey and be comforted. But Jesus is sending the helper, the Holy Spirit, to help you obey. So even in the one thing we have to do to follow him, God's also helping us with that. So it's like he's helping us with the help in the home, but he's also propelling us forward into obedience. The Holy Spirit is also not only the comforter, but the counselor and the one who convicts us of sin and of how to obey. It's like God's helping us from every direction so that we know his care and his love for us. So Jesus in verse 27, and this should be a familiar verse. This is the one I most often are requested to use at a funeral. He kind of sums all that up by speaking to them about peace. He says, peace I leave with you. What is it? It's the Holy Spirit, the helper, the home, the one who helps us obey and know the love of God. My peace I leave with you, my spirit. My peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give it. So let your hearts not be troubled. Let them not be afraid. The peace is through God's word and God's spirit. And that's exactly what Jesus is holding out to his disciples. He says, it's not the end of the world that I am going away. I'm in fact being obedient to God the Father. And you have everything you need. You have all the help you need. You have a home in God. You have a way forward. And you have help with that way forward. And that is the peace that I leave with you. I think what a good word from Jesus to us. And to you who perhaps need a reminder of help and home and a way forward at this point. Amen.